This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruchim Abam, welcome everyone. So the night after Purim. If you made it here tonight, we have very interesting material, a really fascinating subject, something we've discussed in the past, but in Beis HaMedrash B'li Chiddush. And that is, we're going to speak about one of the tenets of Judaism, one of the most basic principles in Judaism, something that every Jew has to believe with full faith. I'm even surprised it's not one of the Ani Mamins. And that is, you know, if I would write a 14th Ani Mamin, I would write Ani Mamin Be'emunah Shleima Shevashti Hoya Lo Izanav. Vashti had a tail. That's like, you know, from the time you're young, we're all taught that Ahasuerus told Vashti to come display herself in nothing except for the royal crown. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah, two opinions, what happened to Vashti. Vashti didn't want to come out. The Gemara brings two deos. The Gemara Megillah and Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Vashti is a pritzasa. Vashti is a very promiscuous woman. She was a lewd woman. In fact, the Gemara says, both Ahasuerus and Vashti, their kavana was for Gilui Arayus. That's why they made the party. So if so, why didn't Vashti come? Why didn't Vashti come to the party? So Gemara brings two opinions. The first opinion is, Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, she got saras. She became a leper, a leper. And then the Gemara brings a brisa. Gavriel came and he made Vashti grow a tail. And you could just imagine, you know, Vashti's getting ready to go to the party. She's getting herself together. And as she's about to step out the door, all of a sudden she hears this noise coming from behind her, something slithering. She thinks it's a snake. It looks like a snake. No, it's actually emanating from her goof. There's a tail coming out of Vashti. That is what Chazal tell us. Vashti grew a tail. But then there's this really disturbing Rav Yonis and Ibishitz. And Rav Yonis and Ibishitz says that Vashti didn't really grow a tail. Chazal don't mean that she actually grew a tail. Because if you look in the Gemara over there, when Ahasuerus, right now, if you want to know where I'm reading, it's in a footnote on page 2, on page Reshut Aleph in your booklet. The Gemara tells us that when Ahasuerus didn't know what to do, so he consulted with the Chachamim Yoidei Hoitim, the sages who knew how to make an Ibriyar, who knew how to make an Ibr month, and they basically had a great dilemma. They said to themselves, if we're going to tell Ahasuerus to kill his wife, then tomorrow he's going to sober up and he's going to blame us for killing his wife. And if we tell him, you know, leave her be, it's a zilzul to the king, she disgraced him. So the Chachamim were trying to sort of wiggle their way out of it. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is, they said to Ahasuerus, go to Amon Emoyav. Amon Emoyav, they have reasoning, they have logical thinking, they're people of intellect, they're able to analyze the situation very clearly. The Gemara says that the Chachamim sent word to Ahasuerus that from the day the temple was destroyed, counsel, advice has been taken away from us sages, and we cannot judge and adjudicate capital cases. Go to Amon Emoyav. Amon Emoyav have been sitting in their national country for many generations, like wine that's sitting on its sediment. And therefore, Amon Emoyav has tam, they have reasoning, they have logic, they're able to advise. So the Chachamim, simply, they deferred. They did not want to advise Ahasuerus. It was basically a lose-lose situation. They had nothing to gain by advising Ahasuerus either way. However, Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz says that there's a deeper explanation over here. What the Chachamim were saying, go to Amon Emoyav, they were saying as follows. We know that, according to Torah law, you cannot marry a man from Amon or Moav. Lo yavai Amoni Moavi b'kal Hashem. And the reason you can't marry them is because they did not have the character trait of hospitality. When we were traveling through their land, they did not come out to greet us with bread and with water. So Gemara asked, in that case, the women should also be prohibited because they also didn't come out to greet us with bread and water. So Gemara says, no, it's not tznius for a woman to come out into the public and bring bread to Klal Yisrael traveling through the Midbar, traveling through their land. So the Gemara says, fine. So the men, the Ammonite and the Moabite men should bring to the Ammonite and Moabite men, and let the Moabite women and the Ammonite women bring to the women. What's wrong? What could possibly not be tzniostik with women serving food to women? And the Gemara says, even that is not modest. Even that is not tzniostik. Why? Kol kvuda bas melech panima. That even for a woman to be involved with other women in a public forum, even that is a lack of modesty. And ultimately, that is why we're allowed to marry from Amon and Moav, because we have no accusations against them that they didn't bring bread and water to the Jewish women. So what they were hinting to Ahasuerus was, you want your wife to come out wearing a royal crown and nothing else? Don't you know that we don't expect women to behave that way? The Ammonite and the Moabite women are mutter to marry into Klal Yisrael because we can't ask them, we can't have a taina on them. They should have brought water and bread to us. That's not the proper manner of a woman. So they were hinting to Ahasuerus, let the lady off the hook. It's not proper for a woman to display herself like that. Furthermore, Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshit says that Ammon and Moav were actually never exiled from their land. And the reason is because their women were so modest and they didn't come out to bring water and bread to Klal Yisrael. And instead, when Bilam needed women to be mezana with Klal Yisrael, the Ammonite women didn't want to do it, the Moabite women didn't want to do it, and they had to hire women from Midian. So basically what they were getting at was, Ahasuerus, don't tell your wife to display herself this way. Realize the repercussions of proper tznius. Those who are tsanua, they will not be destroyed. They will not be exiled. You should have known better. Don't blame the lady. Says Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz, and what does it mean Gavriel made a tale? It doesn't mean he made a tale. It means as follows. Says Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz, we know there's a machloikes in the Gemara. How did God create Adam and Eve? Did God create Adam and he took a rib out of Adam and made Chava? That's one opinion. That's called tsela, rib. God took a spare rib, that's why it's called spare ribs, spare rib of Adam and he created Chava. Or, says the Gemara, maybe God created Siamese twins. They were basically connected by the back. You had man facing Mizrach, woman facing Marav, and it made for a lot of shalom bayis. They can never even see each other. And then they never had a face-to-face conversation. And then God took them and he split them. That's Machloikis in the Gemara in Brachos. The Manda Omar, the Manda Omar that there were two faces is called Partsuf. The Manda Omar that God took the rib is called Zanav. Now, listen carefully. The Gemara asks, why are women supposed to be tsanua? Why don't we say men are supposed to be tsanua? Why is it within the nature of a woman to be modest? Says the Gemara, because a woman was created from a makam tsanua, namely the rib, a hidden mechusa place. That, now, says Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz, that's only true in the Manda Omar, that Hashem created Chava from the rib. According to the Manda Omar, they created Adam and Chava, shnei partsufim. Then there's no Indian for a woman to be more tsanua than a man. What is the code word for rib? Zanav. Says Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz, when the Gemara says Gavriel made a tail, doesn't mean Vashti grew a tail. Tail is a code word for rib. What it means is Gavriel engendered in this Rashanta the midav tznios. Rib represent, tail, zanav, represents the tzela. So what Gavriel did was, he asaboy zanav, he engendered tznios in Vashti. The woman was never tsanu in her entire life. She never did anything modest in her life. And the malach came and smacked her and said, you know, get a grip of yourself. You got to be tsanu now. You can't come out now. And that's what it means she grew a tail. Okay. But to me, this Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz, you know, it's a very demoralizing Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz. Because that means that Vashti never really had a tail. And, you know, it's like one of the principles of Jewish faith, that Vashti had a tail. And here we're learning, she didn't really have a tail. She was just modest. She just had the midah of tznius engendered within her. So what we're going to try to do tonight, and if you say, I heard some of this before, Ein Beis HaMedrash B'li Chiddush, what we're going to try to do tonight is explain how, in fact, even if Gavriel did not give Vashti a tail, at the end of the day, Baruch Hashem, Vashti will have a tail. We're going to call this the true tale of Vashti's tale. Okay. Okay. So here we go. I want to tell you a story. The story is brought down in the Psikta Rabasi, and the story goes as follows. You know, the Megillah ends, Vayasem HaMelech HaChashverosh Ma'as Al Haaretz V'yeh Hayom, that HaChashverosh taxes the people. And that's the last thing we hear about HaChashverosh, that he taxes the people. What did he do after that? We don't know how he dealt with pandemics in Persia. We don't know how he dealt with viruses in Persia. We don't know anything more about Ahasuerus. As far as we know, Ahasuerus taxes the people, and the story ends happily ever after. But comes the Psikta, and we're given the rest of the story. Says the Psikta, there was a story about a Jew who had a cow. No, but he owned a cow. Okay, you know, in America, there's a man who had a cow. He owned a cow, Moo, right? The cow said Moo. We're going to call the cow Elsie, just for convenience sake. The Jew became poor. He had to sell the cow to a Gentile. The Gentile bought the cow. The Gentile works the cow on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. This is an amazing cow. It's a fully loaded cow. Every day the cow works and the cow says moo, like you expect the cow to do. It's Friday, the cow is working. Comes Erev Shabbos and the cow doesn't budge, the cow doesn't move, the cow doesn't plow. The guy takes his bat, bangs Elsie on the head. Nothing happens. Elsie doesn't budge. He takes his aluminum bat. He smacks her on the head. Elsie doesn't budge. He takes a club with thorns in it. Elsie doesn't budge. He goes to the Jew. He said, you sold me a lemon. What's going on over here? I need a cow that works. The Jew says, let me have a word with Elsie. He goes over to Elsie. He lifts up Elsie's ear, says the Psikta. He says, Elsie, get a grip of yourself. You're not Be'etzim HaShomer Shabbos. You only kept Shabbos so long as you were my cow. But this guy is a Gentile. He doesn't have to keep Shabbos. You need to work for him. All of a sudden, Elsie starts plowing, working, very industrious cow. Elsie is back to herself. The guy says, take your cow, get out of here. I don't know what you are. You must be some magician, some kind of sorcerer. Get out of here. What did you tell the cow, the guy says. So the Yid says, look, I told the cow that she only had to keep Shabbos when she worked for me, but now that she's working for you, she doesn't have to keep Shabbos. Says the Psikta, I can't believe it. The goy was overcome with such yiras shamayim. He says, if a cow that can't talk and has no das could be makir, the creator of the universe, me, who I'm created in the image of Hashem, alachas kama v'kama, the goy ran away and he converted. Good story, huh? By the way, comes the Sefer Seder HaDoiros. I'm going to say it a little different than you have in the book over here. Comes the Seder HaDoiros, Rabbi Chil Halperin. It's a historical work, and it's such an important work. The Chida wrote footnotes on the Seder HaDoiros. Seder HaDoiros writes, who is this cow? Not telling you yet. And who is the guy who converted? Well, the Medrash concludes. The Medrash says, you know who this guy became? This guy became Rabbi Yochanan ben Tirasa. Rabbi Yochanan, the son of the axe. And until today, V'ad Achshav, Rabbi Seinu Oimrim Halacha Mishmai. Until today, our rabbis say halachas in his name. So the guy started out as a guy. He had a shear from Elsie. Elsie was Metaher the guy. Elsie purified the guy. Elsie inspired the guy. And this guy became Rabbi Yochanan ben Tirasa. Fine. Says the Seder HaDoiros, who was this guy? This guy was the reincarnate, was the Gilgal of none other than Ahasuerush. The guy was Ahasuerush. And Ahasuerush came back for round two. Why Ahasuerush was Zoyche to come back to this world? We could say, based on one of our classic shiurim, that since at the end of the Megillah, he's the one who fundraised for the second Beis HaMikdash, so he has a very big schus, so the Rebbeinu Shlomo is giving him another chance. This guy reincarnated was Nisgalgel as Ahasuerush. This is Ahasuerush, and he comes back to this world, and who is he? Yochanan ben Tirasa. So I was very intrigued by this. That here it is, we have this guy, Ahasuerush, who in the Megillah is nothing but a complete shoita. He's a melech pesi. He's what we call melech hapachpach. You know, he vacillates. He can't make up his mind. One day he's a Democrat, the next day he's Republican, one day he's a liberal, the next day he's conservative, one day he likes Haman, the next day Haman is hanged, one day he likes Vashti, the next day Vashti's dead. The guy can't make up his mind, and all of a sudden he has a tikkun, and he's Oyla Legedula, and who does he become? He becomes a Tana. He's a Tana. And we learn Torah from him. So I did an investigation. I did some research. How many halachos do we have in Kol HaTorah Kula from Rabbi Yochanan ben Toirasa? Because that would be very interesting, right? What do we learn from Achashverosh? Now, here's the real clincher. Says the Medrash, isn't it strange you have a goy? That means his whole life, who knows how he lived. He lived a low life. He lived perhaps a debased life. And who is Makariv the goy? A cow. Isn't that amazing? That a cow could bring you closer to Hashem? Is that possible? That you could have somebody who's far from Hashem and a cow brings them closer to Hashem? Says the Medrash, don't sweat it. It's not difficult. You know how the cow brought him closer to Hashem? Every year cows bring us closer to Hashem. What's the proof? Zois Chukas HaTorah, the Paraduma. So just like the Paraduma could bring us closer to Hashem, the cow could bring this guy closer to Hashem. So it's so interesting that the proof that somebody could be Niskarev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a cow is the Paraduma. So it comes out very beautiful. Then the aftermath of Purim, where here we think Achashverosh, you know, he's lost forever. He has no tikkun. He has no redeeming quality. He goes down in history as a melech shoyte. No! The end of the story is, he was Niskarev al Yedei Parah. That's the end of the Purim story. So what's the first Shabbos after Purim? Parshas Parah. That's Parshas Parah. That's the logical connection, the logical continuation of Purim. Just like Achashverosh, he's down in the dumps, but he was Nesala Legedula al Yedei a cow. And the Medrash even says, could somebody come close to Hashem through a cow? The Raya is the Paraduma. That means the continuation of Purim is Parshas Parah. That's why Parshas Parah is the continuation of Purim. That's why this week we're going to learn Parshas Parah. Comes with Moshe Wolfson in a Sefer, and he says, if that's not enough, the remez is as follows. What are the opening words of Parshas Parah? Zois Chukas. Zois Chukas, Gematria 9:16, the same Gematria as HaMelech HaChashverosh. Amazing. Zois Chukas is Gematria HaMelech HaChashverosh. So here it is. We think that Parshas Parah is somehow the prelude to Pesach, the preparation for Pesach. And it is. But it's also the grand finale of Purim. Here you have Achashverosh. He's out of the picture. You think he's a melech shoyta, and he's buried, and that's the end of him. No, Achashverosh becomes a great Tana. On Purim, everyone has a tikkun. B'nei banav shel Haman loim dimtar b'vnei brak. Achashverosh becomes a Tana. Everybody has a happy ending. Oh, don't give away all the secrets. Ay vai. Okay. So let's continue. You're lucky I like you, otherwise I wouldn't let you come back. Okay. So, I was very intrigued by this idea that Achashverosh was Nisgalgel as the Tana Rabbi Yochanan ben Toirasa. So I searched and I searched and I searched. What did Rabbi Yochanan ben Toirasa say in the Torah? He said three halachos in Kol HaTorah Kula, as far as I know. Halacha number one is the Gemara in Yuma. There's something called Mishkan Shiloh. Mishkan Shiloh stood for how many years? 369 years. And then it was destroyed. Why was Mishkan Shiloh destroyed? It says in Gemara in Yuma Daf Tes, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Toirasa, Mimnei Machar Vashiloh. Why was Shiloh destroyed? Mimnei Shahayu Bashnei Dvarim. Shiloh had two things. They committed two averos. Number one, Gilui Arayos. Number two, Bizoyon Kodshim. Number one, they committed illicit relations. And number two, they disgraced sacrificial items. You think it's a coincidence that who's the Baal HaMemra that Shiloh was destroyed because of Gilui Arayos and Bizoyon Kodshim? This is Achashverosh talking. What were the sins of Achashverosh? What did Achashverosh do at a Suda? So number one, he invited Vashti to come out, Becheser Malchus. The whole purpose of the party was to get Klal Yisrael to be nichshol ba'arayos. That was the first chet of Achashverosh. Gilui arayos. What else did Achashverosh do at the party? V'cheilim, mikelim, shaynim. He brought out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. What was Achashverosh wearing? Calvin Klein, dinner garb. Achashverosh was wearing? Big Day Kahuna. What? Because of the Kohen Gadol, Bizoyan Kodshim. So Achashverosh's two Averis were Gilei Arayos, Bizoyan Kodshim. So Achashverosh comes back and he's misaking that by teaching a halacha. Why was Shiloh destroyed? Because of Gilei Arayos and Bizoyan Kodshim. Number two, the second teaching of Rabbi Yochanan ben Terasa, it's a Medrash in Eicha, and it's also Yishalmi in Tainus. There was a Mashiach, a potential Mashiach, called Bar Koichva. Rebbe said, when the Pasuk says, Darach Koichav Miyakov, that refers to Bar Koichva. Rebbe Akiva was the armor bearer of Bar Koichva. Rebbe Akiva says, Bar Koichva, Darach Koichav Miyakov, it's Ben Koiziva. Bar Koichva is the Mashiach. And Rebbe Yochanan ben Terasa goes over to Rebbe Akiva and he says, Akiva, I want to have a word with you. Grass should grow on your tongue. Grass will grow on your tongue before this man is Mashiach. So think about it. Rabbi Akiva said, Mashiach came. Who told Rabbi Akiva he was wrong that Mashiach didn't come? Bar Koichva. Excuse me, Rabbi Yochanan ben Terasa. Interesting. Rabbi Yochanan ben Terasa was the one who told Rabbi Akiva that Mashiach was not here. Why Rabbi Yochanan ben Terasa? Why was he the one who did this? Very pashat. The other chet of Achashverosh, the Gemara tells us in Masechta the Megillah, Gemara says that one of the reasons that Achashverosh had his party is because he calculated that the 70 years that were supposed to be up, the Navi Yirmiyah predicted that in 70 years the Jewish people will return to Yerushalayim and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Lemalois lecharvas Yerushalayim shivim shana. Yirmiyah predicted that in 70 years the temple would be rebuilt. And Achashverosh made a calculation. He knew the Shver Belshazzar made a calculation and messed up. Right? Remember the story? The handwriting was on the wall. Belshazzar was killed that night when he rejoiced that the 70 years were up. But Achashverosh said, hey, the Shver made a mistake. I'm going to get it right. And Belshazzar says, Achashverosh says, let's take out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. And Achashverosh celebrated that when Yirmiyah said the temple would be rebuilt, no, it will never be rebuilt. So the third sin of Achashverosh, the second sin of Achashverosh, excuse me, was that he said, Mashiach will never come, wrongfully. So how's he going to be misaking that? The way he's misaking that is when there's a false Mashiach, and Rabbi Akiva thinks it's a true Mashiach, Rabbi Yochanan ben Terasa is going to be the one to set the record straight and say, no, you think this guy is Mashiach, grass will grow on your palate, grass will grow on your tongue before this guy is Mashiach. So it's amazing how every halacha that Rabbi Yochanan ben Terasa said is mamish keneged the chet of Achashverosh. Shvi Shiloh was destroyed because of Gilei Arayos, Bizoyan Kodshim, and Bar Koich was not Mashiach. What was the other deficiency of Achashverosh? So Gemara says he was a melech hafachfach. He was a wishy-washy king. You know, they came out now with a new book on the altar of Nevardek. It's not so well known that in Europe, before the war, the biggest yeshiva network in the world was Nevardek. You know, people see today, you know, yeshiva network, Lakewood, Chafetz Chaim. In Europe, there were literally hundreds of Nevardek yeshivas all over Europe, and this was all headed by the Alter Nevardek. So Nevardek, one of their big shitas was, that the worst thing in the world is to be wishy-washy. You know, they say, nowadays, there's no winter anymore, right? I don't know, when I was a kid, it used to get to 0 degrees. It used to get to 105 degrees. Now, somehow, everything in life is homogenized. Yeah. It doesn't get lower than 25, doesn't get higher than 90. You know, everything is watered down. You know, when I was a kid, when people would daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, people would be yorei demois, people would be wailing, people would be crying, people were banging, you know. When people did things, they did it. Nowadays, Everything is watered down. Nothing is done with the full force. That's like Navardik was anti-wishy-washy. If you're going to be a Rasha, be a real Rasha. Don't be a watered-down Rasha. You be a tzaddik, be a real tzaddik. You can daven Shemona Esrei, you know, wear your emotions on your sleeves. You know, they say over that Rivka was having a difficulty. Rivka didn't know what the nature of her child was. When she was passing by a house of a yeshiva, the kid was jumping to get out. When she was passing by a church, the kid was jumping to get out. So she doesn't know what kind of kid is this going to be. So she goes to the Beis Medrash of Shem Be'Ibra. So what does the Beis Medrash tell her? Don't worry, Shnei Goyim Bevitnech. You're going to have a Yaakov, you're going to have a Gadol Hadar, you're going to have a Manig Hadar, you're going to have a Tzadik Hadar, and he's going to want to go to the yeshiva, and you're going to have a Hitler, you're going to have a Stalin, you're going to have a Rasha Marusha like Esav. Oh, Rivka says, Baruch Hashem, Yiddish Anachas. I don't get it. Rivka was very tormented. She didn't know what kind of kid she's going to have. So how exactly did this message of Shem Ve'Eber say, don't worry, you're going to have a Yaakov and you're going to have a Hitler and everything will be great. How exactly did that calm Rivka down? So in the Navardik they say like this. Rivka thought she was going to have one kid. What kind of kid? A wishy-washy kid. Yeah. When his friends say go to yeshiva, he goes to yeshiva. When his friends say go to a bad place, he goes to a bad place. A child like that, somebody like that, will never amount to anything. Somebody who's always swayed by public opinion, someone who doesn't have a backbone, well, nothing will become of them. But then Rivka heard great news. You're going to have one kid who's going to be a tzaddik nifla, and one kid who's going to be the world's greatest Rasha. Rivka says there's hope for both of them. They both could be great one day. But someone who's wishy-washy, that will never amount to anything. Okay. So that's Achashverosh's problem. He's a melech hafachvach. What is the third teaching in the Torah Shebaal Peh of Rabbi Yochanan ben Tirasa? A very interesting medrash. Take a look on your sheets. It's on page Reish Yud Gimel. The medrash says as follows. The medrash says, the third teaching of Rabbi Yochanan ben Tirasa is a medrash in Shemais Rabbah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Tirasa was once asked by Rabbi Akiva to say a Dvar Torah. Now I'll tell you a little story. You ever go to a Sheva Brachas and the guy gets up to speak and he says, you know, I didn't really prepare. Pal, if you didn't prepare this drasha, sit down immediately and I don't want to wait, don't waste my time. Why are you getting up and speaking? You know, so a guy gets up. I wasn't really sure what I'm going to speak about. Are you kidding me? I'm going to listen to you now? You're not even sure what you're going to speak about? And the worst is a guy gets up and says, I'm not really a speaker. If you're not a speaker, then continue your practice and don't be a speaker. The Medrash says, one is not allowed to get up and speak, not to say a Dvar Torah, not to give a shir, not to give a lecture, unless you've rehearsed what you're about to say four times. Less than that, you can't open your mouth. Says the Medrash, where do we learn this from? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Torah, he rehearsed the Torah four times. Says the Medrash, Amar Rabbanan, Tzarech Adam Lias, Noitel Mashal, Laimar Pirkei, Ay Agadasai, Ay Midrashai, B'Shashu Mevakish, L'Amram B'Tzibur. Don't say I already know it very well. Where do we learn this? We learn this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem ra vayisapra hechina v'chakra, and then he told it over to Bnei Adam. Who taught this teaching? Who is the Bala Memra that don't say anything until you're crystal clear about what you're about to say? Rabbi Yochanan ben Tirasa. Why Rabbi Yochanan ben Tirasa? He's being misaking the deficiency of Achashverosh. Achashverosh stammered one way this way, one day that way. Today he thought like this, today he thought like that. No, Rabbi Yochanan ben Tirasa says, if you don't know what you're going to say, if you're going to say, I thought, like this, like that, do not even begin. That was the third tikkun of Rabbi Yochanan ben Tirasa. Fine. So we have this nice Gentile who started off as a guy. On Sunday he used to tailgate, he used to barbecue. And then he meets a nice cow, and the cow changed his life. The cow mamish changed his life. It's amazing. And he became a great tzaddik. He became a gadol hadar. And he became a Tana, Rabbi Yochanan Teirasa. And who was this? Achashverosh. Comes the Rama Mipano. The Rama Mipano says, and what about the cow? Who is the cow? Says Rama Mipano, the cow was none other than Vashti. Vashti came back to this world as a cow. She had a cow. Actually, she was a cow. She became a cow. Why did she become a cow? So says Rama Mipano, the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah that Ba'yoyim Hashvi'i K'toyv Lev HaMelech Ba'yoyin, on the seventh day, when the king's heart was full of wine, was satisfied with wine. So the Gemara asks, Ad Ho'idno Lo'itav Li Ba'yayin, until now, Achashverosh, he's drinking wine for 7 days and he wasn't drunk yet. So the Gemara says it was Shabbos. And what do Jews do on Shabbos? They eat. They drink. And what do Jews do when they eat and drink? Says the Gemara, Jews say Divrei Torah. They sing Zmirois HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what do Goyim do when they eat and drink? They speak about Nashim. They speak about low matters. And these guys were saying the Median are the most beautiful. And these were saying the Chaldeans are the most beautiful. And Achashverosh says, the Kli that I use is none of the above. You want to see her? And they said, yeah, provided it's under our conditions. Says the Gemara, and why was Vashti put in this embarrassing situation that she had to come display herself? Arum? Says the Gemara, because she was mafshit, benois Yisrael, aruma. She would undress Jewish girls and make them work on Shabbos. Says her mami pano, mida keneged mida, Vashti turned into the cow. The cow was forced to work on Shabbos, and by the way, the cow was not wearing that many begadim either. So the cow was also working aruma. And mida keneged mida, Vashti made the Jewish women work on Shabbos. So now Vashti has to work on Shabbos. So Baruch Hashem, we're able to reinstate our Yesoid Ho'amuna, that in fact, Vashti did have a genuine, bona fide, certified tail. Not the tail that you thought, but ultimately in her final tikkun, Vashti had a real tail. And who, what did Vashti do, Lamaisa? She inspired her husband, she brought out the best in him. The first time around, she didn't do a good job. He was a buffoon, Achashverosh. The first time Vashti did a lousy job with her husband. But the second time around, she mamish made a mensch out of him. Through her cowessness, she was able to bring out the best in Achashverosh. She turned him into a yid, she turned him into a tana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Teirasa, and says the Medrash, if you're wondering how could a cow change your life around, says the Medrash, we learned this from Parshas Parah Aduma, and that's why we're suggesting Parshas Parah is an immediate aftermath of Purim, because the end of the Purim story is that which a cow could bring a person back to tshuva. And as we said, the gematria of Zois Chukas is Hamelech Achashverosh. And on that note, wishing everyone a very safe Matzai Shushan Purim. Shkayah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.